Welcome back to the deep dive. This time we're diving into mold manufacturing defects. Looks like someone sent us a ton of stuff about this.
Yeah, a whole stack. Someone wants to know what goes wrong when making molds.
And how to avoid those problems, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, even the best mold makers can have problems.
Hmm.
Because this is a field where you need to be super precise.
If even one tiny thing is off, it can mess up the whole final product.
Exactly.
You know, your notes mention four main types of defects.
Right.
Dimensions, surface, shape, and fitting. Let's start with dimensions. What makes them so important?
Well, imagine building a house, right?
Okay.
And the foundation is just a little bit off.
Oh.
The whole house could be messed up. It's the same with molds. If a dimension is even a little off, the parts won't fit together.
And then you've got a whole bunch of other problems.
Ah, cascade of issues.
That reminds me of a project I was working on.
Oh, yeah.
It was for automotive interiors, and it was a really complicated design.
Lots of parts.
Yeah, with parts that all had to fit together perfectly.
Sounds tricky.
Well, during production, we found a tiny misalignment in one of the mold cavities.
Oh, no.
It was a disaster. We had to stop the whole production line,
wow,
rework the mold, then spend hours checking and fixing all the parts that were already made.
That's a nightmare.
Yeah, it was rough. It really shows how important it is to have precise equipment.
Right. Think about CNC machining. If the machine isn't calibrated perfectly or the tools are worn down,
you're going to end up with a mold that's not accurate.
Exactly.
And then, of course, it's not just the machines.
Nope.
The design of the mold itself can also cause dimensional problems, can't it?
Absolutely. If a mold has weak points, like really thin walls or sharp corners,
those can actually cause the mold to warp during production.
Yep, leading to more dimension problems.
Speaking of surfaces, that's our next type of defect. And I feel like this is about more than just how things look.
You're right. Surface imperfections can make the product look bad, but they can also make it not work right.
Okay, I'm thinking of a phone case.
Good example.
If the mold has scratches or rough spots, that'll show up on the case.
Yeah.
And then it might not fit right or feel good in your hand.
You got it. So it's both about how it looks and how it works.
One of the articles you gave me talked about EDM.
Electrical discharge machining.
Right. And it said that if you don't get the settings right on the EDM machine, you can mess up the surface of the mold.
That's right.
Can you explain why that happens?
Well, EDM uses electrical sparks to erode material.
Oh.
It's great for making intricate shapes, but if the settings aren't perfect,
I get these weird marks on the mold.
Or even damage the surface.
Yikes.
It's kind of like if you're writing with a pen that keeps splattering ink.
Oh, I see. So how do you fix that?
It depends on how bad it is. Yeah. You might be able to polish it out.
Okay.
But sometimes you have to redo that whole part of the mold.
And that takes a lot of time.
And money.
So it's best to just get it right the first time.
Absolutely. And that's why we're talking about all this, right?
Right. So we can figure out how to prevent these problems?
Exactly. It's all about careful planning and really understanding the process.
So next up is shape errors. I feel like those could totally ruin a project.
Oh, yeah, for sure. If the whole mold is distorted,
you're not going to get the right shape for your product.
It's like trying to bake a cake in a pan that's all bent out of shape.
You're not going to get a very good cake.
Nope.
So why do these shape errors happen? Is it just from pushing too hard when you're machining the mold?
Well, too much force can definitely be a problem, especially when you're working with delicate parts.
I can imagine.
It's like trying to sculpt something delicate with a jackhammer.
It's going to shatter.
Exactly. You need a delicate touch.
What about heat? Does that affect the shape of the mold?
Heat is really important in mold making, but it can also be a problem.
How so?
Well, you need heat for some processes, like hardening the mold.
Okay.
But if the heat isn't applied correctly,
or if the mold isn't designed to handle the heat,
it can warp and twist just like a metal ruler left out in the sun.
Oh, right. It gets all wonky. So again, the design of the mold is really important.
It's all connected. You need to think about how the mold will react to different conditions.
Okay, so we've talked about dimensions and shape and those surface issues. Now let's get into fitting problems.
Specifically in injection molding.
Right. What makes those tricky?
Well, in injection molding, you're shooting molten plastic into the mold.
Under high pressure.
Yes. And if the parts of the mold don't fit together perfectly,
you're going to have problems.
It's like trying to put together puzzle pieces that are warped.
They just won't fit.
Exactly.
And you might even break them trying to force them.
Right. And that's kind of what can happen with molds.
So I'm starting to see how all these different types of defects are kind of related.
They are. A shape error could cause a fitting problem later on.
Okay, that makes sense.
It's all a chain reaction.
So let's talk specifically about those fitting problems in injection molding. What are some of the main things that go wrong?
Well, if there's too much space between the mold parts, you can get what's called flash.
It's extra plastic that squeezes out during injection.
Like when you squeeze a tube of toothpaste and it squirts out the sides.
Exactly.
And that's not just a cosmetic problem, is it?
No, it can actually make the part weaker.
And if the space between the mold parts is too small,
then the parts might get stuck, or you could even damage the mold.
You mentioned space a couple times. What do you mean by space?
That's called clearance. It's the gap between the different parts of the mold.
Okay.
Those gaps are important because they allow for movement and expansion.
Oh, so the mold can kind of breathe.
Exactly. Like the spaces between floorboards in a house.
So if you don't get those clearances just right,
you can have all sorts of problems.
Too much clearance, you get flash. Too little, you get sticking.
Exactly.
It's amazing how these tiny details can make such a big difference.
It really shows how precise mold making has to be.
It's like every little thing matters.
Absolutely. Every detail counts.
So we've talked about all four main types of mold manufacturing defects: dimensions, surface, shape, and fitting. And we've talked about why they happen and how they can mess up the final product.
Yep. We've covered a lot of ground.
Now let's talk about how to prevent these problems from happening in the first place.
Okay, let's move on to prevention strategies.
Because nobody wants a mold disaster.
Right. There are actually a lot of things you can do to make sure your molds turn out right. It all starts with the environment where you're making the molds.
Okay.
And one of the biggest things is temperature.
Temperature. How come?
Well, think about it. Mm-hmm. Most materials, they expand when they get hot.
Right. Right, and they shrink when they cool down.
Exactly. And that goes for the mold itself, but also for the stuff you're molding.
So if the temperature changes even a little bit,
it can change the size of the mold,
which then messes up the size of the final product.
You got it.
But how do you keep the temperature exactly the same all the time?
Especially with big molds or when you're making a ton of parts.
Right. That seems really hard.
It is. Manufacturers use all kinds of tricks.
Like what?
Well, they have climate-controlled rooms, special ovens for hardening the molds, and cooling systems to keep things from getting too hot.
Wow. So they really put a lot of effort into controlling the temperature.
They have to. It's super important for making precise molds.
It seems so basic, you know?
Yeah.
Temperature.
Yeah, but it's the foundation of the whole process.
Okay, so temperature is key. But what about the materials? Does that matter too?
Huge. You have to use good quality materials.
Ones that are right for the job.
Exactly.
Like I was reading about using pre-hardened steel for molds.
Oh, yeah. That's a good choice.
Why is that?
Well, because it's already hard.
So you don't have to do that extra heat treatment step.
Right. Which can sometimes warp the mold.
So it's like buying pre-washed salad.
Haha. Exactly. It's already ready to go.
Okay. So we've got the right environment. We've got the right materials.
What else can we do to avoid problems?
Right. What else?
Maintenance. Got to keep those molds in tip-top shape.
Okay, so what kind of maintenance are we talking about?
Well, it's like taking your car in for a checkup.
You got to change the oil, rotate the tires.
Exactly. You got to catch those little problems before they turn into big ones.
So for molds, what does that look like?
Well, you need to clean them regularly.
Oh, right, because I bet stuff builds up inside.
It does, and that buildup can cause imperfections on the surface of your parts.
And mess up the dimensions, too.
Yeah.
So it's not just about keeping things clean and shiny.
No, it's about maintaining the precision of the mold.
Makes sense.
And you also have to check for wear and tear.
Especially on the moving parts, right?
Right. Like in injection molding, you have these things called ejector pins.
What do those do?
They push the part out of the mold after it's cooled.
Okay.
And over time, those pins can wear down and that can cause problems.
Like the part's not coming out right.
Exactly.
So it seems like even these tiny parts can really mess things up.
They can. Mold making is all about precision.
Is there any new technology that helps with maintenance?
There is. Sensors are becoming really popular.
Sensors? In molds?
Yeah, you can put sensors right in the mold.
Wow.
Or in the machines around the mold.
And what do they do?
They can monitor all kinds of things, like temperature.
Oh, that's helpful.
If the temperature gets too high or too low,
the sensor can sound an alarm.
Or even adjust the temperature automatically.
So it's like having a little robot watching over the mold.
Uh-huh. Kind of.
What other kinds of sensors are there?
Well, you can have sensors for pressure, flow rate, vibration.
All kinds of stuff.
Yeah. And all that data can help you find problems before they get serious.
So you're not just fixing problems.
You're preventing them.
That's smart.
It's called predictive maintenance.
Like going to the doctor for checkups so you don't get sick.
Exactly.
So we've got sensors to collect data.
What do we do with that data?
We use it to automate things, right?
You got it. Automation is changing the way we make and maintain molds.
How so?
Well, you can have robots that clean the molds, lubricate the parts, even inspect for defects.
So robots are doing all the dirty work?
Pretty much. And that means fewer mistakes.
What about the design process itself? Can automation help there?
Absolutely. There's this amazing software called CAD.
CAD? Yeah, I've heard of that.
It stands for computer-aided design.
Right.
And it lets you design molds on the computer.
That's cool.
But it's not just about drawing pictures.
It's more than that.
It's like creating a virtual model of the mold.
And you can test it out on the computer.
Exactly. You can see how the material will flow.
And if there are any weak spots in the design.
You can find and fix those problems before you even build the mold.
That's amazing. Like a crystal ball for mold making.
Aha, kinda.
But even with all this fancy technology, we still need humans, right?
Oh, absolutely. Machines can't do everything.
We need skilled people to design the molds.
And to run the machines, and to interpret the data from the sensors.
So it's a team effort.
Humans and machines working together.
That's pretty cool.
It is.
So in this part of our deep dive, we've learned about preventing mold manufacturing defects.
We talked about the environment, materials, maintenance.
And all that awesome technology like sensors, automation, and CAD software.
It's been a great discussion.
It really has.
Yeah.
But there's more to come.
Oh, yeah.
In part three, we're going to look at the future of mold making.
The future! Sounds exciting.
Welcome back to the deep dive. You know, it's funny. Oh. Now that we've been talking about mold so much, I see them everywhere.
Uh-huh, right.
In my coffee maker, under the hood of my car.
It's amazing how many things are made using molds.
It really is. And speaking of amazing, you mentioned micro-machining earlier.
Yeah.
That sounds like something out of Star Trek.
Uh-huh. It does sound futuristic.
But it's a real thing, right?
Oh, yeah. It's being used right now to make super precise molds.
How precise are we talking?
We're talking features that you can barely even see.
Wow. What would you even need that for?
Well, one big area is medical devices, like tiny implants, sensors, things like that.
So things that have to fit inside the human body.
Exactly. They have to be incredibly precise.
I can't even imagine trying to make something that small.
It's pretty amazing technology.
What about outside of medicine? Where else is micro-machining used?
Well, electronics is another big one.
Makes sense.
Because electronic components keep getting smaller and smaller.
Like our phones and computers.
Exactly. We need these tiny molds to make those tiny parts.
So the more high-tech we get, the more we need micro-machining.
That's right.
But working at such a tiny scale, I bet that's got to be tricky.
It is. One of the biggest challenges is keeping everything stable.
What do you mean?
Like even a tiny vibration.
Or a change in temperature.
Can mess up the whole process.
So I'm guessing you need some pretty specialized equipment.
Oh yeah, definitely. And highly skilled technicians too.
People who really know what they're doing.
Exactly.
So we've got micro-machining, which is super precise.
Right.
And then on the other end of the spectrum, we have 3D printing.
3D printing is really shaking things up.
In a good way?
Mostly, yeah. It's not going to replace traditional methods completely.
Okay.
But it's really good for making prototypes and custom molds.
Why is that?
Well, for one thing, it's fast.
Okay.
You can go from a design on the computer to a real mold in just a few hours.
Oh, that's way faster than traditional methods.
Much faster. So it lets you experiment and try out different ideas.
And what about making complex shapes? Can 3D printing handle that?
Oh, it's great for that. You can make shapes with 3D printing that you could never make with traditional methods.
So it's really opening up new possibilities for mold design.
It is. You can make really intricate features, internal cavities, all sorts of cool stuff.
So it's like 3D printing is taking the limits off of what we can do with molds.
You could say that, yeah.
It's pretty exciting. So what other trends are we seeing in mold making?
Well, one big one is sustainability.
Okay.
People want molds that are made from recycled materials.
Or that can be recycled themselves.
Exactly. So the industry is trying to be more eco-friendly.
Which is great.
Yeah.
But I bet that comes with its own set of challenges.
It does. Some recycled materials aren't as strong.
So you have to find a balance between being green and making sure the molds still work properly.
Exactly. It's a puzzle, but people are working on it.
That's good to hear.
Yeah.
So we've talked about a lot in this deep dive.
We have.
Defects, prevention, new technology, sustainability.
It's been a fascinating look at the world of mold making.
I feel like I've learned so much.
Me too.
Thank you so much for sharing your expertise with us.
It's been my pleasure.
I think we all have a new appreciation for the molds that make the things we use every day.
Right. It's a hidden world, but it's all around us.
It really is. And on that note, I think it's time to wrap up this deep dive.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll see you next time on The Deep Dive.